This is Joanna Schrader reporting for DomesticFuel.com and AgWire.com, and today I am with Adam Nielsen, who is the Director of National Legislation and Policy for the Illinois Farm Bureau. Adam, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Well, welcome to Annawan.
It's great to be here again.
I know you probably spent a lot of time in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Your organization has a lot of agriculture issues to deal with.
Yes.
One of the most important right now for Patriot Renewable Fuels in particular is the state of the renewable fuel standard and the proposed volumes being lower.
Right.
So, Adam, what's your organization's perspective on this?
Oh, we're very concerned. We felt like we've been dealt a blow by the EPA and the administration on this proposed rule, and we're hoping to see an upward revision. We're going to try to activate our members over the next couple of months, try to get as many comments as we can into the Federal Register, participate in any hearings and any activities that we can do where we can lend our support. To try to get this changed. It's a blow to the renewable fuel industry and to agriculture. And there's so many things that are attached to the renewable fuel standard that it has been so significant in recent years. We need to do whatever we can to protect it.
So, Adam, you talk about the renewable fuel standard being so important for agriculture, so important for ethanol, but ethanol and agriculture are really tied together.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So can you even really differentiate
It's really hard to. I mean, it's a policy, so you can look at it as a policy. It really has done a lot to improve the lot of farmers here in the Midwest and in this geographic area where we are right now. It's provided a market where there wasn't one prior to the renewable fuel standard. So yes, it is so intertwined right now that any time that you make decisions like this, it's going to have wide ramifications. So that's the message that we need to get through to the U.S. EPA in the next couple of months, is that so many people have made investments based on what the rules have been up to this point, based on what they've read in the statute, and this is a real curveball.
Well, let's talk a little bit more. We talk about those wide ramifications, and you often hear people say, well, we've invested so much in investments in technology to get to the next generation, and a lot of those next generation fuels obviously are very tied to agriculture. But what will happen to just development and the agriculture side if the renewable fuel standard falls out?
Development or economic development?
Well, technology development, economic development.
Yeah.
I mean, what are some of those broader ramifications that people are not talking about?
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't really thought about it because there are so many near-term ramifications that are of concern. But yes, I mean, an industry really has changed considerably in the last several years. And a lot of those changes are tied to the renewable fuel standard and to ethanol. And so those investments, the productivity, there are so many different players who have a piece of this, and I think they know who they are. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for anybody who is tied into this in rural America to make their thoughts known. You know, they will be able to tell their story better than I can in terms of the importance of this policy.
Mm-hmm. And does it help for those consumers, or those people who are affected on a day-to-day basis or long-term basis, to even tell you their story, in addition to telling their senators and congressmen and EPA and others?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, it's important for us as a general farm organization to understand who all the players are and how meaningful this is to them, and what the ramifications are if we take a giant step backwards as it appears we may be headed towards. So, yes, very important. And I think this is opening up a dialogue with a lot of different parts of the industry right now, which is good.
Well, the other key issue that you're dealing with is the lack of a farm bill.
Mm-hmm.
And the farm bill is very much tied to energy and in addition to technology developments and other developments for agriculture. There's a lot of farm programs to help incentivize these farmers to test out new crops for new energy crops, or to test out new farming technologies that might be more sustainable. So what is going on with that farm bill? Why can we not get this passed?
I know. I think it's time for those four tops to stop posturing and to finish the job, and that's getting back into the room and reaching agreement on some of these issues that are considerable issues, but it's not the first time that a farm bill has ever been negotiated in this fashion, and some of the people who are involved in this have been there before. So I think we're all counting on them to be leaders right now and to get it done. We need a five-year farm bill. We cannot afford another extension of 1 or 2 years. Mm-hmm. The policies that we have on the books right now reflect an agriculture of the previous decade. We need a farm bill that reflects where we are today. And I think they understand that. And we've been patient for a long time. But our patience is starting to wear thin. And it is time for leaders to lead.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at the short-term ramifications, we are nearly 30 days to the end of the year, and it's my understanding that these programs that have been sunsetted and potentially extended could just die, could be halted. What
right.
would happen?
Well, there's some mandatory programs that would continue on, but for the most part, a lot of the programs, you're right, need to be reauthorized, and they could be reauthorized, I guess, in an extension. But again, you're not able to update the farm bill,
mm-hmm.
and so you're working with something that was passed in 2008. They're not going to spend a lot of time on an extension. They probably will cut some of the programs out, though,
mm-hmm.
The ones that need to be reformed if they do that. So, yeah, there isn't a whole lot of time. It is disappointing to hear them talk about how few days there are left. Our suggestion is make the most of the days that are left.
Mm-hmm. Well, how far apart do you think they are, Adam, in terms of if they stepped up to the plate, if they actually provided some leadership that we elected them to provide? How can we do it in 30 days?
We should be able to. You know, that's what they've been telling us. Just get us farm bills and we'll be able to conference it. Now it seems to be a lot more complex than they were making it out to be. It really isn't that complex. There are trade-offs that need to be made, obviously. There seems to be, within the House and the Senate farm bills, plenty of room to operate, plenty of room to maneuver, many trade-offs that could be made. I want to believe that they're very, very close to wrapping this up,
mm-hmm.
Because they have been talking about this now for the last 2.5 years. So if they aren't close, that would be very disappointing.
Now, you know, circling back to the RFS, are you having conversations in tandem? You know, is in some regard the renewable fuel standard tied to the farm bill?
Yeah, the policy has done a lot to create a market for corn and soybeans. There's a big heavy use of corn and soybeans mm-hmm. in the renewable fuel sector. That's, you know, there's no question there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at commodity support, there would certainly be a need for commodity supports if there were no renewable fuel standard,
mm-hmm.
or if there is a dramatic change in the renewable fuel standard. So the farm bill is, you know, the timing of the farm bill in this really should be eye-opening. It certainly is for me, and I know it is for our members throughout Illinois.
So, Adam, what's next for you in the next 30 days? Are you going to be in D.C. really trying to get this farm bill pushed through, or what are you going to try to do to help this industry?
Well, we've communicated to Congress. We'll do whatever we can, including do interviews with media, friendly media, to rattle cages if needed. There's a growing nervousness out here about the inability to get this thing done and
mm-hmm.
completed and across the finish line. We know it's difficult to get anything done in Congress now. This should be one of the easier things for
mm-hmm.
them to do.
Now, for those consumers who are apathetic about the farm bill and about the renewable fuel standard, what do they need to know, Adam? What do they need to do to help get these policies pushed through that are so important to this country?
Well, everybody eats. You know, the Farm Bill provides a measure of national security, something that we all take for granted. It guarantees the basic nutritional needs of Americans will be met. It really helps support the nation's conservation goals. It keeps agriculture's, our soils, healthy into the future. And then it provides a support for production, which, again, we take for granted. you know, it's our productive capabilities in U.S. agriculture are the envy of the world. Agriculture has been an economic engine during this period of economic downturn for the rest of the economy, so it makes sense to keep what is going well moving forward. Mm-hmm. And a farm bill is more than just a farm bill with commodity programs and conservation programs and nutrition assistance. It is a jobs bill for our economy. It's in, and so that's what's at stake. And then as far as the renewable fuel standard goes, for consumers, everybody gripes every time they go to the pump. And when you are blending something that is less expensive with what you are blending it with, economics says that that final product is going to be cheaper than it would have been. And I think ethanol has made gasoline much more affordable for consumers, and we need to keep ethanol as part of that mix. And if we can, try to get higher blend levels in the future.
Great. Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.